lot of fun. Good job with that, especially the men's group. You guys did amazing. All right, I know that the videos we just watched were definitely on the funnier side. There were some heartfelt moments, but you know what? God sent his son Jesus, amen, as a baby. And the angels actually said, I bring you good news of great joy. We are supposed to have joy, right? We are supposed to be laughing and enjoying life. So let's turn to Luke 2:9, and we're going to get started. And I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time of year. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus as a baby for us. Thank you, Lord, that as this word goes out this morning, that we will leave this place changed, that we're not just here as just some kind of a social event, but Lord, we are here to worship you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. He's talking to the shepherds at this point. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. Let's turn to the next one right there. Okay, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings, good news of great joy. Amen. When the angels came to visit the shepherds, not only were they transfixed by it all, but they were astonished that God would pick them in the first place. It was the lowest of society's jobs, right, is going in the middle of the field and watching the sheep. I liked how, as the shepherd in this these little clips, he had said, and I really loved this line, and I wrote it down, God has asked me to be the keeper of the most important message ever kept. To tell everyone that he has sent the greatest gift in the world that the world has ever seen, the Prince of Peace. In a world that needs peace, guess what? We have Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. It said, he also said, the lowest in the land has received the highest honor of all. And that's what happened. The angels went to the shepherds, the lowest, and told them of the good tidings of great joy. Amen. The shepherds were first greatly afraid, but guess who else was afraid? Joseph. Let's turn to Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, yes, that tree is in the way, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid. The same thing that the angel had told the shepherds. This man stepped up and obeyed God, the unlikely candidate to be the son of God's earthly father. But you must know something about God. The type of people God uses, amen, are unlikely. They do the biggest things. I mean, I could have listed, I know we're trying to keep it short this morning, but we could have listed person after person after person in the Bible that God used, amen. And guess what? He's going to use you and he's going to use me. Because this is why we are here. We are here for a purpose. And we will step up and we will obey God. Amen. Just like Mary, she felt underqualified. And the story, the character realized that maybe she has more in common with the Mary mother and Jesus than she thought. Mary felt unsure about the timing and the circumstances. Maybe people stared at her. Maybe she was unsure even though God told her not to fear. Let's go to Luke 1:30. And Pastor Ricky already touched on this a little bit this morning. And you can do the New King James Version for this, please. The New King James Version. All right, awesome. Thank you. They do such a good job back there in the back. There's a lot that goes on in that sound booth, so hallelujah. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Hallelujah. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Let's go a little further down here. "And, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." We can keep on reading. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's one of my favorite phrases of the Bible. "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let's go down to verse 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Pastor Ricky this morning already went over some different translations, but that is powerful. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For our lives this morning, for our lives here in 2023 and going into 2024, guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing is impossible. Let's read our next verse here. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Hallelujah. "And the angel departed from her." And that's another phrase that I love, that she didn't, she had some questions, obviously, but she didn't argue. She didn't try to say, "No, I'm not ready for this," or whatnot. She said, "Let it be to me." Another translation says, "Be it unto me, glory to God, according to your word." What are those things that God is telling you with your life? What are those things that we're supposed to be stepping up and obeying and saying, "Okay, Lord, this is what you're telling me to do. Be it unto me according to your word." Hallelujah, because nothing is impossible. Amen. Mary had plans, but God's plans were far greater. Aren't we so glad about that? Hallelujah. "Let it be unto me according to your word." God's plans for you and I are far greater. I liked the quote in the story as she said, "As I watch the shepherd lift that little lamb unto his shoulders, I see that God's got me. He's the good shepherd. I will let him carry me." Are we willing to let God pick us up and carry us? Are we trying to struggle with that and trying to still do it our own way? We will let God carry us. Are we willing to let go of our plans, our ambitions, so that we can exchange them for his? He can show you the plans he has for your life, the great things he has in store for you. And of course, we're going to go to the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And if I can have this in the NIV version, please. "Because before you were born, he made plans for you. You are here, placed on this earth for this time and this purpose, in this moment in history. You are here for a reason. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Glory to God. Can we say this together? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's for us today. Amen. Glory to God, and let it be unto me according to your word. Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Can we all say worship him?
Worship him.
So they traveled. Their motivation for everything that they had to prepare, for the entourage that they had to, it wasn't just three kings, by the way. we had three gifts that they gave to Jesus, but there was a lot more than that. But their motivation was to worship him. It wasn't to get on the new king's good side or somehow get buddy-buddy with the parents or anything like that. Their motivation was to worship that new baby king. Glory to God. Let's go down to verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can we also read that in the New King James Version? There's a word in there that I really like. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When was the last time that we fell down and worshiped him? They traveled so far looking for this new king that they found as a baby. Well, actually about 2 years old, but as a young child. They fell down and worshiped him. And can we just make that correlation to us nowadays, if I can say it like that, where they traveled miles and worshiped the king? What are we doing? We are getting in our car, traveling 5, 10, 15 miles, nice, warm, heated vehicle into a nice atmosphere, and are we falling down to worship the king? Are we doing that? I want to challenge you today, if you have not fell down and worshiped Jesus, it is time to do that again. And we need to be doing that on an ongoing basis. Amen. Hallelujah. The wise men in the story we watched said this, That manger means something. You begin to realize the ruler of the world and the builder of the kingdom would first delight in the simplicity of carpentry and is the one who would eventually sacrifice himself for us on a wooden cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That the King of Kings came first to a lowly baby. The wisdom of what all this means is you can never come to the manger quite the same again. And that's what we need to do. Every time we see a manger scene or, you know, we pass by someone's house that has this in our front yard or, you know, we see it all around this time of year. But is it really meaning something to us of what happened with Jesus being born? And the story also said, you know, no matter where you see the nativity story on a street corner, in a church, or even the neighbor's lawn, you have to consider it right then and right there. Are you willing to kneel at the manger? And as we talked about earlier, are we willing to fall down and worship Jesus? Let's turn to Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12 here. Nor is there salvation in any other. I'm going to read that again. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. going to read it one more time. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Glory to God. There is one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Amen. The baby that we usually see around this season, the baby Jesus that is usually in a manger or maybe, you know, something like this, we have to realize that in the soon coming days with Jesus, he gave that blood of that baby in that manger would be shed for my sin and for your sin. He wasn't supposed to go to the cross. Amen? He did nothing wrong. He had no sin. He had never sinned. I was supposed to be on that cross. You were supposed to be on that cross, scourged and beaten and hung with nails on a cross. But the love of God, glory to God, the love of God said, I have a way. My son will take your place. And he gave us Jesus, and that's what we need to be thinking about when we see the manger, when we go through and see a nativity scene. It needs to be that. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:7, and we're almost done here. And if I could have this in Amplified, please. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation. Through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, of our shortcomings, of our trespasses, in accordance with the riches and generosity of his gracious favor. Hallelujah. God's grace was given with this baby that we see in a manger named Jesus, so that he would one day shed his blood and take our place, so that we can say, Jesus, forgive me, and accept him. This is why we fall and worship him, because now I can stand at the throne room of God, amen, boldly. Because Jesus sees me through the blood of Jesus, because God sees me through the blood of Jesus. It washed my sin away. It washed your sin away. Not anything that we could do. It solely comes down to what that baby in a manger did for us. If you have never confessed Jesus as Lord today, you need to do that. You need to say, know it. It's going to be different from this day forward. I need to make a change. I need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, to apply his blood in my life so I can stand in front of God boldly. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word that it's gone out this morning. From all the fun videos, but Lord, also the heartfelt moments. But Father God, most of all, of your word that has been spoken out. Your word that was spoken out. It does not return void, but it will go out and do everything that it was sent to do. So Father God, I thank you right now that we do see that we need a Savior, that you sent Jesus, your Son, for us to take our place so that we can one day be with you. That it is the only way. So right now, I'm going to ask you, if you have never accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, let this be today. Make that change today. If that is you, please raise your hand. We want to pray with you. I'm only going to wait a couple of minutes. If that is you, if the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is urging you to say, know it, it's time for a change. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us for this wonderful time in this season. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we have this opportunity to celebrate, to share the good news of great joy to everyone around us. Lord, I thank you, God, as we go into this Christmas season, that you will place opportunities before us to be able to minister to our friends and family of what wonderful things Jesus has done for us. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Can we all say amen? Hallelujah. All right. Well, Merry Christmas.